a few weeks ago, I sat on my couch at home on a Tuesday, usually my day that I do my writing, my spending time with God, except I was feeling very sick, and I didn't have much of a voice, as you remember. And I was asking God, what was it that he wanted me to do? What is it he wanted me to do? As I was thinking about this particular message today, what is it, God, that you want to do? And just ever so quietly, I just heard this little one word, and that word was rest. Rest. Thinking that that was a word specifically for what I was supposed to do in that moment, I just continued to sit there quietly. Sit there quietly as I prayed, and as I began to think about things, my mind went across a video that I had seen recently on Y2K. Anybody remember Y2K? Yes. That was, for you kiddos, that was like when computers, when we were switching from 1999 to the year 2000, and everybody was concerned that a computer wouldn't be able to know what it was supposed to do when it switched from 99 to 00 for a year. So a lot of people were worried about it. And this video I watched was kind of a dramatized video, had some famous people in it sharing, I don't know what's going to happen. We didn't even know what this was supposed to mean. Whereas other people were being hired to make sure that nothing shut down in the government. The president was hiring people to make sure that nothing shut down for this Y2K, okay? And so as I watched this video, I just began to remind myself of how people felt in that time. People were worried. I got kind of like, you know, a little worked up a little bit too as I remembered. Because my first full-time job was August of 1999, and it was in computers. And I was like, oh man, this is a good time to start this job. Do you remember these? If you put up that first picture? These are emergency radios. You can still buy them now. But right before, see, that even has an SOS button. Right before Y2K, these were known as Y2K radios. Had to crank them up. I thought it was kind of a novelty. Everything that I ever had, I plugged in the wall and it worked. This you actually had to crank up to make it work. So I thought that was kind of fun. My father-in-law had one of those. That was the first time I saw one. I was like, what is this? He said, it's a Y2K radio. Oh, okay. Had a light on the front, had a crank. That's kind of cool. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why am I watching a video on Y2K 23 years later? That's old news. That's old news, right? Because I remembered the hysteria of people in that time. Yeah, some of us were partying like it was 1999. Yay, it's a new millennia. Yes, but others were more somber. Others were more wondering if the world was going to end, or at least the world of commerce as we know it. And I was somewhere in the middle. I did care, but I was just about ready to turn 21, and so I was partying like it was 1999 and thinking that someone else will take care of the computer issues. I just go to work. But yet here, 23 years later, the world is still spinning on its axis at 1,000 miles per hour. We're still traveling around the sun at a speed of 67,000 miles an hour. And maybe even as a result of nothing happening, other than a few old computers that didn't know what to do with themselves after it clicked over to 2000. But otherwise, as a result of nothing happening during Y2K, we have become more reliant on computers, and especially those of the handheld variety, than ever before, right? And so today, as we reel from the effects of a pandemic that began almost nearly 3 years ago, prices going up, still finding it common to find shelves that are empty at our favorite grocery stores, we can get a sense of that same hysteria that some of us experienced 23 years ago. Some of us weren't even born yet. You don't even care. But here's something to remember. There's always going to be something happening that can cause us to worry. There's always going to be something happening that we can get worried about. And so God began to show me that word rest wasn't just for me sitting there on that couch that day, but to all of us, and especially as we enter this new year. For while many things have returned somewhat to a state of normal, in the back of our minds we know things are never going to be the same as what they were. And so as we enter 2023, let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing? I'm glad to hear that. Are you excited about, yes. Are you excited about a new year? A fresh start? Yes. New Year's resolutions? Do you go get a gym membership for 3 months so you can work off all the stuff you've been eating for the last month? I can't say I've ever done that. Probably should, though. But a chance to do things differently? A fresh start? Are you concerned about what difficult things may come this year? Or some kind of uncertainty that this year could bring? And even if it's like, yes, I'm excited about the fresh start, but I do kind of every once in a while think about those kind of things that kind of nag me in the back of my mind. If that's you today, then hear what God wants to say to you. Be still and know that I am God. I am God. You thought I was going to say rest, didn't you? No. We're going to talk about that, though. But God showed me that there are a few things that come before rest. For instance, rest comes as a result of first being still. When you go to bed at night, you lay still in your bed, you hopefully quiet or still your thoughts, and then hopefully you drift off to sleep, right? And then you can get some rest. Then you can get some rest. So some things sometimes need to happen before we can get to that place of rest. But rest doesn't just mean sleep. We can be fully awake and at rest. That's what a Sabbath is. When we spend one day away, apart from our labors, to rest, to recuperate. And we can also be considered resting in peace when we pass away as well. Resting in peace. So that's rest. But those words, be still. Those words, be still, they're a command from God. They're a command. A command that requires an initial action. And that action is stop! Stop! Stop doing what you're doing. Stop thinking about what you're thinking about. Stop worrying about what you're worrying about. And instead, be still and know that He is God. He didn't just command us to be still, period, but to be still and know He. Who's He? The one we read about in the Scriptures. The one who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in it. The one who calls out the starry host by name, all of the planets, all of the stars. The one whose voice twists the mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. Hallelujah. Yes. The one who formed us and knows all of our days. The one who gives us life and breath. And if that wasn't enough, everything else. Everything else. This one whom we believe in and serve as believers. This one that we give our lives to. Above all, He is God. He is God. God above all things. We sang about it earlier today. You're bigger than I thought you were. There's a story in the book of Mark, if you want to turn there with me today. Up on the screen, there's a story in the book of Mark, chapter 4. The second gospel in the New Testament. Second chapter. As you're turning there in Mark 4, the beginning of Mark 4, Jesus is teaching the crowds. And the crowds get so big and pressing in that He has to go hop in a boat and be pushed out a little ways into the water so that people can gather on the shore and listen to Him talk. And He spends all day teaching. All day teaching. And we get some of those parables recorded there in the fourth chapter of Mark. Parable of the growing seed. Parable of the mustard seed. And then we get to the end of the day. And that's where we're going to pick it up here in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. That day, when evening came, He said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. Why did they take Him along just as He was? Because He was already in the boat. He was ready to go. They took Him along just as He was. in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Even the wind and the waves obey him. So Jesus gets done teaching, spends all day teaching all the people, and he tells his disciples, "Let's hop in this boat and let's head over, and we're going to bring the other boats with us. We're all going to go with us, okay? We're going to cross over to the other side of the lake, which is the Sea of Galilee." And along the way, Jesus probably being tired from teaching all day. I can get tired just after teaching on a Sunday morning, preaching on a Sunday morning. He teaches all day, and he's probably just, "Okay, I taught all day. Now I'm in this nice boat ride. Waves are lapping against the side of the boat. Calm. Everybody is just kind of just constant, just conversation going on. I think I'll just close my eyes and sleep here on this cushion," right? That's how I kind of imagine it. And so he goes to sleep, and while he's sleeping, there's this bad storm, furious squall. I don't know why it is, but when I see those words, furious squall, I think of furious squirrel. I don't know why that is. You can put a picture up there of a furious squirrel. I tried to find some furious squirrel pictures. Looks like he's maybe upset about something, kind of furious maybe. Furious squirrel. That's, now I'm going to imprint that in you guys as well. So now you're going to think about that every time that you read furious squall. Whether it was a squall or a squirrel, whatever. But while the disciples are battling it out, trying to move forward, trying to get to the other side of the lake, their boat begins to take on water, okay? To the point of being almost full. Like the old phrase goes, if it's not raining, it's pouring. You know, not only is it raining, and not only are we surrounded with water, but now our boat is getting full of water. Like, how can this get any worse? If it isn't raining, it's pouring. Now, I imagine the disciples are, again, battling this out, and occasionally they're looking at the other boats and saying, "Is Stephen still over there? Oh, yeah, you see him. I see his boat. Is Joseph still over there? Just hold on. We're going to make it through. Just hold on." And one of them just happens to turn around and say, "Hey, what? Jesus. He's sleeping? Is he still sleeping?" "Yeah, he's still sleeping." Right? He's still sleeping. I love that imagery, though, the picture of Jesus sleeping in the boat. Mark 4 and 38 says, Jesus was in the stern, or the back of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. Now, just a question I know is on all of our minds right now. Did the cushion get wet? Did the cushion get wet? Maybe he was sleeping, he was dreaming about being on a waterbed that would later be invented, right? Maybe. I want you to look at this picture. Look at the next picture. Just take a look. Just take in the whole picture. Okay, so you've got some guys, some disciples that are going to Jesus, trying to wake him up. Others are looking that way to watch those. Someone's holding on to the sail there. It looks like it's about ready to snap off. The other one over there is just like, "Lord, have mercy, I'm going to die." Right? Now just imagine that. Which one are you? Well, we have to wonder, how could he be sleeping like that when all of that stuff is going on? How could he be sleeping? The boat's filling with water. The waves are crashing over it. How can anyone sleep? Well, then we go to, well, that's Jesus, right? He's the one who said that what is impossible with man is possible for God. So yeah, of course, Jesus could sleep in a storm. Yeah, that's possible. He can do that. I mean, he's God. He can do anything. But that's not me. No, that's not. That doesn't apply to me. Mm-mm. I'm not God. I can't do that kind of stuff. I can't be still in the storm. You sure about that? So Jesus is sleeping during the storm that threatens to swamp the boat he and his disciples are in. In the midst of battling it out, they go and wake him up. Think about that, though. Just think about that. They have to go and wake him up. And then after they wake him up, his disciples make another observation. It doesn't appear that he's as upset as we are about this whole thing, about the situation that we're in. And so they say to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" Now, I don't know about you, but when I wake up, I'm not always fully aware of what's going on around me. You know, you come out of a, what? Oh, okay. Oh, what are we doing? So-and-so is throwing up? Oh, okay. Let's. Okay. All right. I just need a moment to steady myself, right? I can give Jesus a little credit here, all right? But here's what I tend to think. I tend to think that the disciples, they woke Jesus up. They observed his inactivity and not jumping in to help. He wasn't grabbing a bucket and starting to go like this. They observed his lack of worry, not lack of care, by the way, lack of worry about the amount of the water that was in the boat and the storm around them. And they said to Jesus what any one of us would say in the same situation, and probably with hysterical voices. "Why are you not freaking out, Jesus? Do you see what's going on? Don't you care? We could die." You ever said that to God before? You ever asked God if he cared about your situation? What you're going through? You're in good company. So what did Jesus do? Verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Corbin, quiet, be still. He didn't say it like that, though. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. You just imagine that, though? Like, you never think about a storm being able to respond to someone commanding it to do something, right? What kind of authority does our God have? And I like how Mark uses that word completely. Other translations say it was a great calm, a perfect calm, or a perfect peacefulness. I don't know about you, but those words just represent who Jesus is to me. So what happened? He commanded the wind and the waves to be still. Why? Well, because he's God. And he has authority to do that kind of thing. But after quieting the storm, he turns to his disciples, who are now even more terrified than what they were in the storm, by who's in the boat with them, okay? And he asks them why they're afraid. Where is their faith? Well, at the same time, they're getting a clue about who he is. They're getting a clue. Question for you. When you think of God and who he is, would you say that you know him like that? Would you say that you know him like that? In that picture. Throw that picture up? No. Put that picture up again? With the disciples? In that picture, which one of those disciples is you? How do you respond in the storms of life? Do you see him as more than common, like we talked about last week? The uncommon among the common? Do you see him like that? Do you see him? Do you know him to have authority over every single thing in the world and in the universe? Do you know him to have authority over every single thing in your life? Every single thing. If so, then why do we see storms and difficulties and uncertainties and hardships and persecutions and suffering as greater or more powerful than our God? I can't say I always know or perceive him to be that for me either, friends. Having authority over everything in my life, everything that comes my way, the things that I have to figure out, the things that are uncertainties, the things that I have to figure out. Even, you know what, just a couple weeks ago, we were going roller skating, and I was getting concerned because we had 61 seats, and people kept coming in, and I'm like, are we going to have enough room for 61 people to go on this bus, or these four buses and a vehicle? And guess what? We had exactly 61. And exactly 61 seats. But I can get worked up about that kind of stuff. But as I read the scriptures here, it looks like to me that in order to know him like that, we have to first be still. We have to first be still. We have to quiet ourselves before Almighty God, like a weaned child quiets itself without being nursed by its mother. To recognize who he is, and then to realize we're okay. We're okay in him, in light of him. For he calls us his children, the sons and daughters of God, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That is so cool. The one that he rescues because he delights in. We are the ones that he rescues because he delights in us. And as he doesn't get upset about a storm, maybe we shouldn't either. You ever think we may not have the same perspective as our God does? Maybe? Remember this, believers. Jesus is with you in every single storm. In every single uncertainty, in every single worry, in every single fear, he is with you, and he promises to never leave you and never forsake you. Amen? Amen? And if he is sleeping or at rest in a storm, maybe we should stop and be still so that we can get a good look at our Savior. And maybe we can get a clue, too. You kids here today, you ever had to be told by your parents that you need to get buckled in your seat in the car? It probably wasn't something like this. Okay, honey, would you like to get buckled in your car seat now? Oh, okay, it's okay. Only if you want to. Probably wasn't anything like that, was it? It was more like a, are you buckled yet? Well, get buckled or we aren't going nowhere. It's a command. It's a command. And what's the command for? Keep you safe, yes, because there's a law. There's a law. Parents could get in trouble if their kids aren't buckled, right? But also because your mom and dad care about you. And so the commands are for our good. They don't want us to get hurt if we were ever to be in a car accident. Which, by the way, we tried to leave on Monday this past week to go down to Omaha, and we turned around 45 minutes into the trip because the roads were just, our van was going like this down the road, and we're like, no way, we're going to go back home. Tuesday we left, we tried it again. We counted 17 vehicles in the ditches. 17. Three of them were semis. One of them was a snowplow. Okay? Other vehicles were flipped over. They had gone off the side of the road and then down and ran into trees at the bottom. Doesn't matter how big or heavy your vehicle is when it comes to ice. You're still going to slide. Sometimes I wonder about us adults today that didn't have to or weren't required either by our parents or by the law to wear seatbelts. How did we even survive? So the commands of God are for our good. And if he tells us that we should be still and know that he is God, we should probably listen. Amen. And as we do, we'll see where that leads to. All right, let's open up to Psalm 46. This is where we get the be still and know that he is God. Psalm 46. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's 11 verses. And you will be okay. You will be okay. All right? But as we read it, I want us to ask this fill-in-the-blank question. He says to be still and know that he is God because. Okay? So verse 1. He says to be still and know that he is God because, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a lot of things in there that would cause us to not be still. Okay? But yet, we can be still and know that he is God. There's a reason why he puts this in verse 10 down there. Be still and know that I am God. Verse 4. He says to be still and know that he is God because there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Be still and know that he is God because he is within his holy city. And where does his holy city belong today on this earth? In us, through the Holy Spirit. He makes us holy. God is within us. God will help us at break of day. Verse 7, or 6. He says to be still and know that he is God, because while nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, when he lifts his voice, the earth melts. God spoke the world into existence. He spoke it into existence, everything. It's his voice that twists the mighty oaks and strips the forest bare. And when he speaks, the earth can melt. Do we have the right perspective on our God today? Be still and know that he is God. Verse 7, he says to be still and know that he is God because the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is with us. We can be still and know because he is with us. He is with us. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Come and see. We can be still so we can come and see. And then verse 10, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know, that's our job. That's our job, right? It's not to be worried or concerned or about the uncertainty of stuff or, you know, get ourselves all worked up about anything. It's that we are to exalt him among the nations. We are to exalt him in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. And then verse 11, he says to be still and know that he is God because, again, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So we can hear that command to be still. And we can think of his might, right? And how each command is for our good. But unless we also know, friends, that he is with us as one who knows our every single day, as one who never leaves us or forsakes us, if we don't know him like that, we may not first be willing to be still. Yep. See, we need to see who is in our boat. Who is along the journey with us? And if he has all authority that he can make and calm the wind and the waves of a physical storm with that same word, be still, if his commands are for our good, and if he promises to be with us, then, friends, we can trust our awesome God to be there in the boat with us through our storms. Yeah. And we can be still and know that he is God. And so we arrive at a place where we can find rest. Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you," what? rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. How can we learn from someone if we aren't first still before them? If we don't first know that they're a good teacher? If we don't know that what they're commanding us to do is for our good? Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That, my friends, is the end result. When we come to him with our burdens that cause us to be weary, when we come to him in the storms of uncertainty in life, he will give us rest. But we can't jump to that step without first being still and knowing that he is God. Would we come to him if we didn't first stop? If we weren't first being still? And in that stillness, knowing and trusting that he is God. And then even when we do that, sometimes we may leave that place of rest as we learn to trust him in each new day. But that trust, because we believe that he is with us, that trust will lead us back to that place of stillness. Amen? Amen. So let's walk quickly back through this. Let's reverse engineer this, okay? Before we can find rest, we need to know that we can come to him. And before we know that we can come to him, we have to know that we can trust him. And before we can't know that we can trust him until we know that he is with us. And we can't know that he is with us until we first still ourselves and know that he is God. And his commands and what he does for us is for our good. Here's the point today. We have to first be still and know before we can come and rest. We have to be still and know that he is God before we can come to him and find rest. But once we do, we will find a rest that allows us to be still even when furious squirrels abound. Amen? As we close today, let me ask you, who is steering your boat? As you enter this new year, who is steering? I have one more scripture I want to read to you. It's Psalm 107, just a couple, three verses out of that. Psalm 107 and verse 28 talks about those who go out on ships on the mighty waters. They're courageous. They're going to go out there. They're going to go and they're going to navigate these mighty waters. And they see the works of the Lord and how he can stir up a tempest. Okay? He stirs up a tempest. And when the tempest comes, their courage in their own abilities fades away. And what do? They cry out to the Lord, Lord, help! And he saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled, again, stilling the waves. Verse 30 is the main one I want you to look at here. What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. They have the perspective of the storm to understand how great is that stillness. Who is steering your boat? Are they leading you to a safe harbor that is still? May the one who steers your boat be the one who can also rest in the storm. Amen? Amen? Put your hand on your heart, or wherever you can find your heartbeat. Put your hand on your heart. You feel it beating? You know that you have no control over that? Think about your breathing. You weren't thinking about it before I said it. But you were still breathing, weren't you? And while you can breathe, and you can make yourself breathe, at some point you forget to breathe. But what happens? You continue to breathe. Stop trying to control the things in your life, and instead this year, be still and know that he is God. And then come to him and find rest. Pray with me and let's commit ourselves to him in this new year before we do communion. Father, I thank you that you are awesome. You are glorious. You are mighty. You have the victory. All authority in heaven and on earth is in you. I thank you that you have lifted our eyes today to see you. You have helped us to see you as bigger than our issues, bigger than the storms of life. You've helped us to see that you are with us in those storms. So God, we pray in this new year, this first day of 2023, this new year, we pray, help us to be still. Help us to know you. Help us to come to you and find rest. We commit our lives to you. The very beat of our heart that we have no control over. God, we commit our lives, our very breath to you. We are here for you. We lay down everything because you're all that we want. You give us life and breath, and beside that, everything else. Help us, Lord. Help us to be committed to you this year. Help us to know you're in the boat with us. Help us not try to navigate it ourselves, but that we would cry out to you in every storm, that you would bring us, either still the storm completely or bring us to a safe harbor where we can appreciate that stillness that comes from you, even in the midst of the storms.